Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we're about to open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, Father, to come forward to be our guide and to give us a greater understanding, Father, so that we can better preach and teach this word of yours plainly unto mankind, to give him a greater understanding of how to walk and how to live his life so that he can make heaven his home. Now be with us, Father, throughout this study this evening, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to be in Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, as we went through chapter 1, we've seen a lot of things there, you know. And Paul's explanation to the church. Because they knew about Paul. They knew about his history for his ministry, how he persecuted the church because they were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So up through a lot of the time, it wasn't hard for those that would follow him to tear him down. Now, Paul here, in the first couple of chapters, he's sharing some things with the Thessalonians and all about his ministry and all. Verse 1 says, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. 2. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know. At Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. You see, Paul here in those three verses are letting them know. And Paul is also denying his adversaries' accusation that his ministry there with the Thessalonians had been in vain. In other words, empty of proper motive. And he goes on to let them know that he had been physically abused, suffered and insulted, shamefully entreated previously at Philippi. Yet, he says, he was bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel. Meaning he had the courage, even after all he went through there at Philippi, to come right there to Thessalonica and preach to them the truth of the gospel with courage. And also letting them know that the purity of his ministerial motives for the gospel would probably have prevented his courageous preaching. You see, there was no impure insanity of any kind in his ministry. None. Think about that. Then think about your church today. I'm praying your church is like Paul's ministry is speaking about. But most are not. Now, verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. And he's using two words here, allowed and true. And, you know, it comes down to where that word allowed, he's letting them know that God had carefully examined him, Paul, and found him to be fit for the ministry. And in doing that, then he was entrusting the apostle with his responsibility. And try. That word, try. He's letting us know that the Lord examines him daily to see whether he remains fit and can continue in the ministry. And this was a habitual divine scrutiny in the reason Paul seeks to please God rather than men. God then is the ultimate cause and motive of Paul's ministry, not impurity, our covetous. And our ministry today should be in the same way. Because listen, let me tell you something, preacher. Whether you want to believe it or not, the Lord God is watching you. And he can take everything away from you, including your life. Think about these things. Your ministry is supposed to be according to the Lord our God and his word. It is written and not added to and taken apart to make it say what you want it to say. Because it doesn't matter what we want it to say. What matters is what God is saying through it. Now, I do know that today there's a lot of you out there calling yourselves Christians that don't like to listen to the truth of the gospel. You want funny stories and things that way that will make you laugh, that will not make you feel guilty for the things you're doing that you shouldn't be doing. You just don't want to hear it. And you will still, to this day, you still talk about us that will teach this gospel as it is written. And there are a lot of you out there, instead of it being the work of Almighty God, you've made a business out of it. Instead of giving truth and helping others to come in to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and help them through the gospel to grow in faith, grow in the spirit and understanding of God's word. Why? For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. That cloak of covetousness means excuse or cover up. They're letting them know they're not using it for an excuse or a cover up, an impure motive of greed. And we've got a lot of that today going on. And as you can see, the word is saying no. That's not to be done. 6. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. 7. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. We're letting, and Paul is telling them that they are not burdensome to them. They haven't been burdensome to them. And they will not be. But he's letting them know, yes, they could have used their office as an authority for such. Because we see it in Alabama. Now, you see, because for one, they are not seeking for glory or anything else from man. Now, they could have, but they wouldn't. They didn't intend to. They could have thrown their weight around as the apostles of Christ and really demanded on them. But they wasn't doing that. Now, eight. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own soul, because ye were dear to us. You see, they were even willing to give their lives for them, because they did love them. It wasn't something that was put up or made to look like, but it was something that was fact. Their love was fact. Nine. For ye remember, brother, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. And we know that Paul would work even by night. Paul's trade actually was tent maker. And he would work at night for his own needs. And then spend the days in sharing the gospel and establishing these churches for the Lord God. Yet we don't want to give God time, do we? Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameable we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Praising them, in a sense, there. And Paul let them know, you are a witness to the fact that their behavior was holy and justly and unblameable while they was there among them. 11. As ye know how, we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children. Comfort and encourage. You know, that comfort is used for a name for the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. It's also used for Christ in different locations and things. Now, he's letting them know that they was taking care of them spiritually, just as parents would take care of their children, especially their father. Because you see, that's the way our Heavenly Father cares for us. We cannot blame him for anything. It lays within you and I. When we will not walk in obedience unto him and unto his word, and walking with the Spirit, in the Spirit, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have no one but ourselves to blame. Because God keeps his word and his promises and does exactly what he says he will do. Now, well, that ye would walk worthy of God, who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. You see, something I want to share with you again that I've shared with you many, many times. But, you see, you cannot be saved without God calling you. It takes that call from God on your spirit and to your spirit that moves you to come out of darkness to the light, and that light being Jesus. This is why that we continue to pray for those that are walking in darkness, for the Holy Spirit to speak to them and speak to their hearts and their minds, and letting them know that there's something better out there for them. And God, in that way and through the Spirit, is calling them to change their life and to grow as his child. 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because we because when ye received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And you see, Paul letting them know that the word he preached to them was the word of God, a word spoken by God, Paul is standing boldly, asserting the divine inspiration of his gospel that God has given. And that's what we all as pastors of the church must do and be doing. Speaking God's word, not ours, but his. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. When you become a child of God, the criticism and the strife and all that will come against you will come from a lot of your own. Because they either do not want to believe that you've changed or that you're teaching something different from what they believe in. Oh, now, Pastor, you know, now. Oh, yes. I've been through it. You see, I was raised in a denominational church from the very earliest of my days here on this earth. I'd venture to say that my first trip out of the house was to church. And yet, when God called me into the ministry, and I went into the ministry because I was not preaching that denomination, my brothers and sisters tried to make fun of me. They laughed at me. They didn't want me around. My mother and dad went a year without having anything to do with me. Was that easy? No. But let me tell you, you see, God, he knows everything. We don't, but he does. And he knew that I would not change, and he knew what would happen when I didn't change. And that was things that I did not know. You see, when I wouldn't change, then there came that time that they all started listening. And then when my brothers and sisters would need advice, I was the one they would come to. And I ordained my dad into a full gospel church that was teaching the Word of God. It wasn't a denominational church. I called it full gospel because it was teaching the full gospel of God's Word. God knew all that. I didn't. And I shed a lot of tears before that change all came about. Let me tell you something. Buried one of my brothers. Buried my mother. And I buried my dad. I had left Florida and moved back here to Kentucky because God put me in a church here when my mother passed away. And when they called, my brother called and told me about it. They was telling me about her funeral and all. I asked him, I said, well, if I got time to get there. He said, no, we'd rather you didn't come down here. We need you there because we're bringing her back home because we were all from Kentucky. And he said, you know, her cemetery plot and all is back there and we're going to be bringing her there. We need you on that end. They got here with her. My dad came to me and asked me. He said, can you preach your mother's funeral? He said, we had one, but I sure didn't like the way it was done. He said, can you do it? I told him, I said, Dad, she brought me into the world. I can help her out. And I preached her funeral. And when Dad passed away, he left word that I was to preach his funeral. And I did. Let me tell you, it's some of the hardest things that you'll ever have to do. Now, verse 15. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. Now, who is he talking about? Well, if you back up here just a little ways, you find out that he's talking about those which were in churches in Judea, in a few other places that had done these things and was still here in 16, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. They're still forbidden Paul and them to speak to the Gentiles. At the time he's talking about here. We know that God called him to be the apostle to the Gentiles. But there was those that sure wouldn't want him to do it. They wanted the Gentile people strictly law and continuing on with all of their worshiping of idols. 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Now, he said, we've been taken from you for a short time as far as being there in the presence with you. But we're not from you, away from you in heart. We're letting them know they are still in his heart. They are still loved. And they're loved abundantly. And he's looking forward to seeing their face again with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Satan hindered us. Think about that. Therefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. God had worked for them other places. 19. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? We're wanting them ready when he comes. in the very last verse, which is very short. For ye are our glory and joy. Paul's glory is because of the change of their lives and of their worshiping of the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And their love for him and his love for them, and it's filled him with glory and joy. Think about it. You think helping others won't help you? You that are out there right now walking in darkness that are not the children of God, how much joy do you really have in your heart? Think about it. We're going to be stopping here. And our next one will be chapter 3. And we'll probably, with chapter 3, get in also through chapter 4, because chapter 3 is only 13 verses. And chapter 4 is only 18. So we'll probably get through both of those with our next study. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as I close your word here, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for these times that we can come together to study your word, to learn, and to receive knowledge and the guidance, Father, by the Holy Spirit that we need in order to walk upon that pathway of righteousness, to make heaven our home throughout eternity with you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, Jerusalem and Israel, we are continuing to pray for them, Father, because they are still in our hearts for peace. Because right now, Father, we know they're not having a lot of peace. And they have enemies all around them. Father, we are praying for peace. We're praying for their safety and their health. But most of all, Father, we're praying for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land Jesus. And Father, we pray for our land. This land, Father, needs repentance. Help us all to come together this election time, Father. All of your people come together knowing that they need to remove from office those that are against you, against your word, against the church, and against Jesus. And to replace them with those that will work for you and work with us to help us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we can put him back into every place he's been taken out of, Father. And especially back into our schools. Now, Father, as we separate for the rest of the evening, keep us in health, Father, and keep us safe. Give us rest through the night. Wake us, Father, in time for our Bible study in the morning at 10 a.m. Eastern time. Now, Father, We love you. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. We love the Holy Spirit. Father, we love your word and our love teaching. Be with us. Watch over us. Keep us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Have a great night. And good night, all.